Hello, everyone. Welcome to Success Saturday. It's kind of a wrap-up day. I don't even know what week it is. It's 8, 7, something like that. But it's we're just going to wrap it up. And as always, I always put up my contact info. And that's a note to all of us presenters. Always put your contact info up, because if you're going to put it on YouTube or put this out somewhere, this may be the only one people see. So NFNLP, I forgot to add Dr. Will Horton's finally up. And it's kind of it's getting tweaked pretty nice, you know. And so let's just jump in and get started. As always, what have you learned about success and about yourself in the last week? You know, and what kind of success do you seek? What is it you want? I mean, there's different types of success: money, finance, spiritual, physical. It could be all of those, but, you know, and how can you use all this new information that we're putting together? What's your blocks? And your block may be your coping mechanism. So you may need to re-alter your coping mechanisms. And a lot of this book's been about altering your self-image, you know, to align it with what you want. Because, you know, if your self-image and what you're going after don't align, I don't think it's ever going to work. So let's jump in for the last part. And as always, think to yourself, what can I learn new today? How can I grow today? What can I do different today? And how can I have some fun? So again, as we started with, what kind of success do you seek? Is it money? Is it career? Is it relationship? Is it personal? Is it all of these? And if so, you know, we can work on them individually. They can all kind of go together. They might kind of break out a little bit, right? Because we're multifaceted beings. We always forget that. And a lot of times when you get books or things on success, it'll be like money success or this success. But, you know, we're multi-dimensional. And we're working on different things at different times. As we said at the beginning, you know, Albert's dropped a lot of weight since the COVID crisis has started, doing Taibo, which I've been doing too, by the way. I like my Taibo. Changed my workouts. You know, and maybe if it's your career success you're thinking, and again, how are you going to measure that? Is it just money, or is there other things to your career you can measure, or is it all of those? What about your relationships? You know, and it may be just personal. It might be an overview, but it might be broken down, right? And success seems to attract itself. Why successful think and feel differently than unsuccessful people? You know, I think this is the key why we see multi-generational success. Yeah, some of it, they might get a boost in, but maybe it's the way they're raised. You know, their thinking process is much different. As we talked at the beginning, I talked about these kids that their parents, the dad was a professional athlete and their son becomes a professional athlete. Yes, you got all the genetic things, but they were just raised with, this is what you do. It's not that unusual to be a professional athlete. Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs, the quarterback. His dad was a professional baseball player. And I think his grandfather played professional baseball, you know, too. But it's like he just grew up around professional athletes. So for him, it was what you do. You know, Albert, you're seeing it. He could talk about later. You see it with actors. You know, we see the sons and daughters of actors become actors.
Yes.
And yes, they get a little boost in maybe, but also it's just like this is what they do. They're not coming from a steel worker in the Midwest where, you know, they're yelling at them about it. It's what you do. So, but also when you just think about success in general, they think of money differently if you come from a successful background. So there's that whole idea of it, right? So, you know, if you're thinking about self-help, self-change, you got to learn the laws of success, the laws of money, if you will, the law of attraction, which everybody talks about. You know, but if you don't do the one thing that seems to change it, which is your self-image, and some other things, you're going to sabotage everything. You know, you're going to almost get there and then blow everything up. And a lot of it starts with the many people are raised with the crime of being, or the crime of existence, as it's called, right? That's where you don't feel good enough or lovable or worthy or deserving, you know. And if that's the underlying thing, the old saying is you can't put clean water in a dirty cup. You could do all the affirmations you want, but if you don't feel lovable or worthy or deserving, it's not going to work. And some of it could come from some early programming, even maybe while you were in the womb. Because many of us, you know, if we really get honest, who knows what your mom's first response was when she found out she was pregnant. We like to think it's like a Hallmark movie and everybody's crying and happy and throwing flowers in the air. But what if it's like, I can't afford this, not now, you know, or when when the father finds out, is it like, maybe it's tap dancing and happy, but maybe it's like, right? Especially multi-generational, right? Not that they don't end up loving you and supporting you and doing all that, but there's some thoughts on a lot of this goes deep, right? So that's the first thing you got to think about. Could this be one of the underlying things if you don't feel good enough? You know, one way you mark that is when you do achieve something, do you automatically downplay it? Oh, anybody could have done it, right? You did a great job, anybody could have done it. Or could you just say thank you, right? It's like, and there's that humble, you know, I'm not saying don't be humble, but it's like, if nothing you ever do is good enough? And a lot of us, again, we could have been raised that way. You know, you got a 98 on your test and they point out the two you got wrong. You know, so you start feeling unlovable, right? Or not worthy, not deserving, you know? And maybe, you know, and it could be offhand remarks parents, authority figures might say, you know, who are you to want this? Who are you to think you could do this? And all that. So again, this could be underlying. And if this becomes that routine under running your life, boom, it's not gonna end well. And again, a couple of problems with success is it's not clear, it's too vague, right? And again, it's kind of like it doesn't matter where you're going if you got no clear target. If you don't know where you're going, if there's no target, you don't know if you're getting there. And you know, it's why we like SMART goals. NLP brought that to the world: specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, right? And testable. Realistic, I put in that because that could be kind of open to interpretation, but you know, are your goals specific, measurable, attainable to reality, and realistic, based in reality? And what I mean by that is, as much as I would like to dunk a basketball, I don't think I'm going to do it. You know, you know, 5'8" on a good day, it's probably not going to happen. But you can test it, and you can get better. So then we also have to look at the beliefs about success. And I always throw money in there because money kind of gets locked in with success. These are beliefs that can block your success because many of us and society might say it's selfish to want a lot of money or a lot of success, right? No one should have that kind of money. No one should make this. No one should make that. If that's a belief, you know, and it's those offhand comments we talk about that will reveal some things. Because if you say that about a professional athlete or an actor or writer or singer, no one's worth that kind of money. Well, you've just basically laid a groundwork that people aren't worth money. And if they make that much money, they must be worth it. If somebody's willing to give it, you're worth it. That's one way to look at it, right? Another belief that can block it is success or money is not that important. I don't do it for that, right? Many people have the idea that success or money or fame, whatever you're going to label your success as, will only cause more problems. Right? Like I said, I always tell that story about the guy who was worried about writing his second book while he was trying to write his first book. And that's what his underlying thing was. If it gets successful, it's only people are going to expect me to do this all the time. Right? A lot of the people have the idea of it's not spiritual to have success or fame or money. As I said earlier, a big underlying one is I don't deserve good things. I'll settle for less. Right? And again, a lot of us, if we were raised by our parents or even sometimes our grandparents that grew up in the Depression, that kind of gets, you know, it was like settle for things. And that's where things like money doesn't grow on trees or things like that. And if you have that belief, then, you know, it's going to be hard to get it, or it takes money to make money, or it takes connections to make it. I'm not saying if you have money or connections, it won't help, but we've all seen people with money and connections that don't make it. And then people with no money and no connections make it huge, you know, and your blocks and beliefs are revealed in how you feel about those things. When you see somebody with the kind of success you would like to have. But again, a big focus of this book is your self-image, because you will rise or fall to your self-image. Your self-image on health, your self-image on wealth, on physical fitness, on your relationships, right? So when you think about what's my self-image, does it align with what you want to be or do or have, right? And is this one of the secrets to being successful, right? Or did you just put on a little self-image like a uniform that then you take off, right? And then when you take it off, then your self-image will revert back to what it was before, as opposed to when you have a total self-image shift, you're never the same again. Because everything you do filters through your self-image, right? If you want to be, does it fit your self-image? If not, you say things like, that's not like me, right? Instead of, no, this is what I am. And one of the underlying things is, if you ever have that imposter syndrome, or where you start feeling like you're a fraud, that lets you know that maybe your self-image really needs to be tweaked, right? And again, we can think about things like, it may take a little while, for your self-image to settle in, the new you to become normal. And if you think about things like when you start a new career, I always think of hypnotists and NLPers, they get their training and they're ready to go do it. How long is it before you're comfortable saying, I'm a hypnotist, I'm a therapist? Or talk to people who have doctorates. How long is it comfortable for you before you can say comfortably, I'm Dr. So-and-so? Because your self-image starts setting what you will tolerate. You know? So think about that. So what is your self-image? What do you want your self-image to be? Does it align with what you want, right? And one of my sayings, a lot of you know it, is go where you're celebrated or appreciated, not where you're tolerated or ignored, right? And because again, as our dear friend Tony Robbins would say, you know, people treat you by what you will tolerate. And if you won't tolerate it, right, then they're going to treat you different, or they're going to get out of your life. Either way, it's a win, right? And what happens if you have low self-worth or the wrong self-image, you get that victim mentality. And then you start the, it's not my fault, why should I try? And then if you keep going, you'll deny you ever wanted money or success or fame or wealth or whatever it is, right? And what we see people do is they turn failure into a virtue. You know, I didn't sell out my goals to, you know, for a hit record. I'm a true singer. I don't know what that means, but you know, we see it in the arts. We see it, and I see it in the hypnosis and the NLP world, where people will downplay what other people can do, right? So they turn their failure into somehow it makes them more virtuous, right? And so what can you do to start your thinking of success, whether it's money, relationships, your body, whatever it is, as a spiritual quest? You know, if you could become, it becomes a spiritual quest, right? Whether it's business, can you think of your business as a spiritually based business, right? And then you become the example you wish you had back in the beginning. And you have to forgive those that implanted them. It's the old, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do. Your parents, your grandparents, society in general, depending on where you were raised, right? And you begin to get the mantra of I'm a victor, not a victim. Or if you're doing anything in life, you'll be sold out. You're really not a sellout. Success doesn't mean you're a sellout. It means you're doing good. And one way to do that is with a mental mastermind group, you know, or as our dear friend Carol Anise put in, we talked about a buddy board where you get your mentors that have succeeded in the areas you would like to succeed in your life. And if you can find some of them that maybe have crossover appeal, where they're successful physically and they have a good career and they make a lot of money, and they can become your, one of your mental coaches, if you will, or on your, they're a buddy on your buddy boards. When you look, it's kind of like if you have a vision board, what if you take your vision board and a corner of it, you turn into your buddy board, where there's people that will support you getting your, the lifestyle you desire, the body you desire, the relationship you desire, the career you desire. They'd be rooting for you, not against you, right? And so then the other thing is give yourself a prosperity shock treatment. You know, as our friend Joe Vitale says, money doesn't have any beliefs about you. You have beliefs about money. And once you know that your beliefs are limiting your spiritual awakening, you're free to attract money or use money, appreciate money. And the word success can be duplicated in with money to fulfill your soul's purpose with success or the money that you bring in. And what is your salvation? You know, when you think about these things, you know, if we're going to think of it in a spiritual way, let's use spiritual terminology. You know, so it depends where you're stuck. If you're poor, it's prosperity is your salvation. If you're sick, it's health. If you want to get, you know, if you're overweight and you're wanting to get in shape, it's the image of you being in shape the way you want to be, right? If you're alone and you need a relationship, it's another person, you know? In other words, the salvation is the solution to your problem, right? It's not going to add to your problem. And your salvation will come in mysterious ways. You know, the Bible talks about it, the Old Testament, the Torah, the Quran, the writings of Buddha is, they all kind of synthesize down into, I have ways you know not of, right? That's where magic happens, miracles, those coincidences. And think about just, you know, missing the mark is what happens when you don't quite get there, right? And part of missing the mark is focusing on the problem. I always use the old story of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, all you see is lions, that's what's going to grow. That's what's going to multiply. If you see the solution, the salvation, if I'm sick, I turn my back on the sickness and I look at the health. If I'm in poverty right now, I can look at prosperity, right? And it's not that you're denying it. It's just you're taking your attention away from it, you know, and where your attention goes, your energy flows. So now your energy is somewhere else, right? And then just follow the golden rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated, you know? But with that, how do you treat yourself? That goes back to prosperity shock treatment. Maybe buy yourself something if you can afford it, right? How many of us have seen people struggle their whole lives and save extra every penny, you know, so they can retire comfortably. And then they, maybe right before retirement or right after, they keel over, you know. And just think about the messages we get. They were celebrating this guy who literally, they said, you know, would work every bit of overtime, saved every dime, never went on a vacation, never bought a new car. Lived in like the same small apartment. I think it was New York area. Same small apartment for 50 years. I don't think he ever got married. But then when he died, he left all this money to a college. And everybody, they were celebrating that. And I'm thinking like, that's pretty freaking sad when you think about it. You know, if he had all that money and he never took a vacation, he never drove a new car, he never did this, he never did that, you know, and all this money, it was good. He gave it to something good. But I mean, I'm thinking it could all went to the government. You know, I mean, it's like, do you treat yourself well when you talk about the golden rule, right? And again, if you don't treat yourself well, this goes back to, you know, how well you'll tolerate things. Well, then other people will treat you that way. And so to give to yourself, because many of us are taught it's selfish to be good to yourself or to pray for things. I don't know how many times I've heard that. And you know, I'm in a recovery program and people talk about that in a meeting. I'm like, it doesn't say you can't do that. Show me anywhere where, you know, I mean, I, I do know in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, both says, ask and it shall be given. Doesn't say only this or only that or that. Or we've been taught that our true reward is in the afterlife. I don't hide the fact, I think that was instilled in us by the controlling oligarchy class, whether it's royalty or the church or things like that, to keep you dirt poor, right? Because your reward's in the afterlife. Now go dig me a new swimming pool, peasant, you know. So it's that. And then I don't know how many times this is my thing. We need to, at least in my case, break the myth of living poor to be rich, right? And again, wherever you live in the United States or Canada or anywhere in the world, all you got to do is drive to the rich part of town. They don't live poor. And yet sometimes someone says, oh, you know, the way to get rich is you live really poor. Kind of like the guy, save every dime, never go on vacation, don't do this, don't reward yourself, you know? And again, how do royalty or the rich really live? They live like royalty. They live rich, right? So can you start to do that even if on a limited basis? And so what do you want, right? And again, a lot of this links back into things are neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. And whether that's success or money or wealth, health, fame, you know, whatever it is, how you think about it, it in and of itself, being rich, being wealthy, being famous, being super healthy, whatever, having great relationships, are neither good nor bad, but how do you think about it, right? Because if you think it's okay, then it's going to come to you. Again, that's where you see like sons of royalty, sons of very successful people have a tendency to do it because they don't think there's anything bad about it, you know? Of course you live in a penthouse and drive I can't think of one, a Bugatti or whatever, some real expensive car, because that's just what you do, right? And have good relationships, whatever it is, right? And sometimes what you can do is maybe pick a symbol that could represent either different aspects of it or maybe a symbol that would represent you getting everything. And my personal trainer story about that is, I've said it before, I knew a guy who was a personal trainer, and he talked about how he had people that were working out that some would get in great shape, others wouldn't. And they're all working hard, you know, at least while they're with him. And he was training them like a lot, like 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week. And they seemed to be following the diet. He really didn't know, but some would just like, boom. And again, he started thinking about how do they think of themselves? How do they do this? And so what he did is he had each one of the people that would do it. He goes, I want you to find somebody your age or a little bit older that's in the physical shape you want to be in. That would be like, yes, that's the way I want to look. And then cut that picture out. Or now we could say, you know, put it on your phone and then look at that picture, especially right before you go to sleep and maybe right when you wake up in the morning and go, it's possible they look that way, you know? And if they were, he was like, most of these people were into like bodybuilding and physical fitness. So he's like, well, they did it. That means I can do it if I'm willing to pay whatever. He just said, mainly look at the picture twice a day, at night before you go to sleep and first thing in the morning, and then just let it go. And maybe ask yourself, how can this magically happen? And he said, the people that did it, their body started to transform because they'd given it a blueprint, right? Especially this was for the physical training side. He said, because a lot of the people, you know, they would go to their office, and most people in the office aren't in physical shape, let's be honest, right? And so he wanted to get the idea that this is how you should look. And he goes, maybe this is why I like people that get in great shape, hang out with people who get in great shape. So what if you could do that for this, for whatever aspect you're going for? You know, whether it's your career or your, whatever it is, get a symbol that can represent it, you know? That means that will help you do it. Right. So then you can look at it and just ask yourself, how can this happen? You know, how can I get this, whatever it is, and get this symbol? Maybe it could be a couple of different symbols. Something that represents massive prosperity to you, like whatever it is. Maybe a friend of mine has a bunch of really nice watches. Right. And because for him, that just represents success, you know, wearing a several thousand dollar watch, right? Last time I talked to him, he's now it's getting kind of weird because he's starting to wear like an Apple Watch all the time because he trains a lot. But still, he's got the, so it's a symbol. It's like a prosperity shock treatment. What can you do to get a symbol that maybe you can begin to look at, and then when you get, it means I got what I'm going after, right? And it says, join me on a spiritual quest to be a spiritual millionaire or a spiritual success by leading the way. And you should also remember to always add and go back and really look at all your PowerPoints, because I dropped the O. Join me on this quest, right? By sharing this info with other people, by leading the way, by becoming the example you wish you could be. So keep in touch. Let me know how it's going, and we'll see you as we trudge the road to happy destiny.